people are concerned because they might see themselves as an interruption. People see interruptions. We see labels. There are labels of people all around us. And we see those labels. And sometimes we see people as labels. But when we embarked on this journey, remember we said we want to be like Jesus, right? Isn't that the command? That we're to be like Him? He is the ultimate example? Well, if we're going to be like Jesus when it comes to loving our neighbor, when it comes to serving others, when it comes to evangelizing the lost, then we need to see people like Jesus saw people. In John chapter 9, there's a miracle. There's a miracle, and we're going to study that miracle. I want you to turn to John 9. That's where our text is going to be. But I want you to know that this miracle of Jesus doesn't open with the miracle. It opens with this. John 9, verse 1. As He, Jesus, passed by, He saw a man blind from birth. Think of the things that are on Jesus' mind in John chapter 9. Now, if you were to study the context of John chapter 9, of course, chapter 7, chapter 8, and chapter 10, if you were to read those and understand, they're all revolving, John chapter 7 through John chapter 10, all revolve around the ministry of Jesus in Jerusalem during major Jewish festivals. Okay, so they're all revolving around these Jewish festivals while Jesus is trying to minister to His people. And He's just walking by. Yet in all of that, Jesus still took time to see. He took time to notice. He took time to examine people and see the needs that He could help serve. You see, love your neighbor begins right there. Jesus didn't begin this miracle with a miracle. He began it with seeing him, a man who couldn't see. When we talk about love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and it's got to start right there. If it doesn't start right there, everything else we do is in vain. If I don't love the Lord my God with everything I have, then I cannot be a disciple of Jesus. Remember, He said in Luke chapter 14, if you do not hate mother, father, brother, sister, and your own self also, love less. If you do not love less your mother, your father, your brother, your neighbor, your sister, your own self also, then you can't be my disciple. See, it starts with loving Him, number one. And that's not lip service. I love you, Lord. We sing it, right? I love you, Lord. And I lift my voice. Do we just sing it, or are we really living that? Are we willingly living that truth? Well, if we're not willingly, purposely living to love our God with everything we have, then we're never going to see our neighbor. Love your neighbor begins with loving God and then actually seeing them. Let's read together. John chapter 9, 1 through 7. As He, Jesus, passed by, He saw a man blind from birth. And His disciples asked Him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, it was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. We must work the works of Him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Having said these things, He spit on the ground and made mud with the saliva. Then He anointed the man's eyes with the mud, and He said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which means sent. So He went and washed and came back seeing. How does this teach us about helping and serving others? How does this teach us about loving our neighbor as we love ourselves? I'm glad you asked, because I believe there are several ways. Here they are. Number one is this: Jesus sees the unnoticed. If we're going to love our neighbor and be like Jesus, then we're going to have to see people that other people don't notice. Look back at verse 1 again. He passed by, he saw a blind man from birth. This man that Jesus sees had been blind his entire life. Here's why I think that's in there. I don't know exactly the age here, but this man has been blind his entire life. He's a grown man. For his entire life, a lot of people have seen this man. A lot of people. And a lot of people have ignored this man. Think of him in this moment. Think of the blind man in this moment. The people that he worked for, I'm sure he helped beg and acquire money the way, because that was what people, they used people. They used people with some type of ailment, some type of hardship in life that was going to keep them from going out and making a wage. They would use these people, whether they were lame, whether they were blind, whatever it may be, and they would take them and they would have them beg for money. Think of the people that passed by all these years and have ignored this man. Again, blind beggars were part of the background of their everyday life. So you know what people did? They did the same thing we do. They looked the other way. Now, if you think that doesn't happen, and please understand, I'm not saying that you should give change every time you see the person at Christmas time that's, you know, rattling the bell. You know, the first time you go to the store or whatever around Christmas time and they're out and they're, you know, ringing the bell. Again, if you feel the need to give money, that's you. I'm not, that has nothing to do with the story. Here's the point. You're going to notice them because they're ringing a bell and you haven't seen them before. But if you go to that store day in and day out, seems like Michelle does oftentimes, you go to that store day in and day out, eventually you're going to walk right by them and not even hear the bell. You know that's right. You know it's accurate. Because we've got something else on our mind. We've got something else in our path. And so my point of it is, this man has been ringing that bell. And people have learned to ignore him. How many people, and I'm not talking about bell ringers, how many people have we walked by in our community, in our circles of influence, and ignored? See, Jesus noticed the unnoticed. Before Jesus healed him, before Jesus even speaks to him, before Jesus even takes his own saliva and dirt and makes mud and a salve to put on his eyes, before he touches him, Jesus sees him. Love always begins with noticing. We have to ask ourselves, who has blended into the background of our lives? We got a lot of folks that are out hunting and doing things this weekend. I think it's that good time of the year for people to do that. And you know, there's a lot of money spent on camouflage every year. I mean, and they're big, camouflage is a big business. And people buy it, why? And they buy where this certain kind of camouflage, probably for this certain kind of area and this certain kind of wood, where they're hunting, and then they have things that will kill their scent, right? So why are we doing that? So we can blend in and the deer can't see us. But here we are also camouflaging ourselves so that people that need Jesus can't see us, or we can't see them. You see, there was a time when we were all blind and somebody saw us. You cannot love people whom you refuse to see. Secondly, this morning, many people see people that have needs as a problem. Jesus sees those people as a person. Look at it. John 9, verse 2. His disciples asked him, what happened in verse 1? Jesus sees him. Verse 2, his disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned? This man or his parents that he was born blind? The disciples turned suffering into a theological discussion. Think about that. What has this man done? Job's friends, bless Job, right? Job's friends show up and they don't say anything for a while, and that's the best thing they did. Because when they start speaking, you know what they say? Job, what have you done? What have you done that God is punishing? Repent of whatever you've done so you can get out of this. They thought they were saying the right thing, but Job had anything. So the disciples, again, Jesus always teaching, right? They jump to the conclusion when Jesus sees this blind man, they're like, hey, what did he do? I mean, who sinned, him or his parents? That was the only theological reasoning they could come up with. They want explanations. They want to pass the blame. And notice this, they're speaking about the man, but not to the man. They could have asked him the question. But they're not speaking to him. They're speaking about him. They're talking about him. If we don't notice people, or we complain about the burden of people, the question has to be, do we really love the people? The disciples saw a problem to analyze. Jesus sees a person to love. You see, that's a big difference. That's a big difference. The disciples saw a problem that they needed to analyze and make right in their brain. Jesus instantly saw a person in need. Are we really like Jesus? Or are we more like those disciples? Love your neighbor means refusing to reduce people to explanations. Now listen, I think that it's important to communicate with people. I think it's important to get to know people, to build a relationship with people. But certainly we shouldn't just jump to the judging of people. Sometimes we explain pain instead of entering into it. Sometimes we label people instead of loving them where they are. Sometimes we analyze brokenness instead of showing compassion. You see, what Jesus teaches us in this miracle story is to see people as neighbors, not just another case. Something else I learned that I want you to see in this story is this. There needs to be mercy over blame. First part of John chapter 9, verse 3, Jesus answered. He's answering them now. It was not that this man sinned or his parents. Jesus refused to play the blame game. In a broken world, we ask all the time, whose fault is it? What did that person do to deserve that? Or how did they get in that situation? How in the world can they do that to their family? How can they be in that situation? You see, Jesus says those are the wrong questions. Jesus reminds us love does not begin with blame. Love begins with mercy. You know what blame does? It distances us from people. Once again, the disciples, were standing right there by this man who they could have said, "Hey brother, what's going on?" Instead, they have a conversation with Jesus. Did he sin or was it his parents? I mean, why is this man sitting here blind from birth? I imagine there was an instant wall that went up between that man and those disciples. We have to ask ourselves, are we in the wall building business? Or are we in the bridge building business? Who was it? Robert Frost said, "Good fences make good neighbors." I get it, trust me. But sometimes we think the walls are the best answer. But we shouldn't be in the wall building business. We need to build bridges. How to bridge that heart, how to bridge that gap. Folks, I want to go back to what Jason said. Jason talked about it. And by the way, if whichever side of the fence you're on, Auburn or Alabama, he gave two great examples to know where your emotions were when those things happened. Okay, that feeling you feel ought to be the feeling we feel knowing that I do not have to go to hell. I ought to have that kind of excitement. Now let me ask this. When you were in that moment, by the way, at the one when the guy took the kick and ran it back, I was in the stadium with my brother and we were hugging everybody. I want you Alabama fans to think that I handle things real well now. Back then I didn't. We were pretty excited. And I would imagine whoever you were with when it was fourth and a mile and that pass happened, you were hugging people too. Why? Because you wanted to share that excitement. You're probably texting people, calling people. You wanted to share that, posting it on Facebook. Trust me, I saw it. All the time, right? Do we take the excitement we have of being saved from hell and keep it to ourselves or share it with people around us? That's a real question we need to ask ourselves. I mean, the greatest thing that happened was Jesus Christ came and died for our sins and was resurrected from the grave. It's the greatest thing that's ever happened on this earth. And we ought to celebrate that, but we ought to be able to tell others about it. Instead of blaming. Just stop asking who caused this. How'd they get in that situation? We need to start asking, how can I help? Can I tell you about Jesus? That's what loving our neighbor looks like. We also see in this story that there's oftentimes brokenness comes with purpose. Look now at the end of John chapter 9, verse 3. We talked about the first part, last point. Here's the second part. Jesus says it wasn't the man sinned or his parents. Here's what he says. But that the works of God might be displayed in him. You know what Jesus did with that statement? He took the disciples' eyes from surface level and lifted them higher. He said, you're seeing surface. You're seeing people and trying to rationalize the blame. He said, God. Jesus says it wasn't this man who sinned. It wasn't his parents who sinned. It was that God can do this miracle through him and people can glorify God. Where others see limitation, Jesus saw opportunity to bring glory to his Father's name. He said, this happened so that I can show the power of my Father. Loving our neighbor means believing God is still at work, even in their broken lives. I am so thankful to God that I am not defined by my worst day. Some of y'all know what I mean. You've had worse days. You've had days when you haven't, people didn't want to be around you. You didn't want them to talk to you, and you didn't want you to talk to them. They didn't want that. I'm so thankful to God I'm not defined by that. I'm also so thankful to God that my story is not finished. So was that blind man. He's so thankful that blindness didn't define him. And he was so thankful, and I would imagine still thankful today, that God wasn't finished with him. May we never underestimate what our God. That's the points of the story. Here's the reality. We are the story. We are that story. If we are honest, that blind man is us. We were blind to the truth. We were blind to the gospel. We were blind to salvation, blind to grace, blind to hope. But Jesus Christ still saw us. He still saw us. Go back and look at the Apostle Paul's life. The man was a great Pharisee. So great that he was taking Christians and having them killed and approving of it. Dragging them out of their homes, separating families. And he was on a road, after he had got some papers, to Damascus when he saw the light. Remember, he was going to see a man named Ananias, but before Ananias saw Saul of Tarsus, who he was a little bit hesitant to see, as you could imagine, Jesus Christ paid Ananias a visit. And you know what he said when he said to Ananias to try to help him understand that this man's not going to hurt you, he's not going to harm you? He said this about the Apostle Saul, a man who was killing Christians. He said, "I chose him." Even when he was blinded, I saw him. He saw the potential in Saul. He saw what he could do. And thanks be to God, he did. Can't you imagine Paul, if we could interview him today, he would say, "I'm so thankful Jesus saw me when I was blind." And he would say, "I am so thankful that God wasn't finished with me." You see, when we were blind, Jesus didn't blame us. He didn't ignore us. He saw what God could do with us. 2 Corinthians 4:6, "For God, who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' has shone in our hearts." By the way, Paul wrote that. Love your neighbor. It flows naturally, or it should flow naturally, when we remember how deeply Christ first loved us. You know, Jesus still passes by. Jesus still sees. Jesus is still the light. Today, if you're here and you need healing, you need your eyes opened, you need your heart open, your mind open, you need forgiveness, you need obedience, you need to repent of a public sin, you need to repent of something even in your seat, I want you to know this: if that is you today, the one who still sees you, he's now calling you. He's calling you home. Come home. Walk the aisle. Be immersed. And when it's all said and done, we will all walk out of here saying, I was blind, but now I see. If you have a need, won't you come right now together? We stand and sing.